What up? No, it is another Thursday. This is Knockouts and Three Counts, and man, do we got an episode for you, as we've got the return of CVV himself. Chris Van Vliet is joining us, but before I get to tonight's show, I've obviously got to tell you about the homies Potter's Tree Service. You already know, but if you are in the need for tree removal, tree trimming, chipping service, walnut logging, storm damage cleanup, lot clearing, all that stuff, Ace of Potter, Potter's Tree Services got you to cover. You can see it all there on the screen. You won't even need Hacksaw Jim Duggan. Ace of Potter will get you together. Use the links in the description. Check out this number and get your tree needs taken care of, courtesy of our guys at Potter's Tree Service. Enjoy the show.
This is the Ring of Honor, a.k.a. Shane T, boy, the baddest champion you've ever seen, boy.
This is Mr. Anderson.
This is good old JR Jim Ross, and you are listening.
You're listening to Knockouts and Three Counts.
Cover! Cover! We got it from your world champion!
That might be one of the craziest knockouts I've ever seen in my life.
Knockouts and Three Counts is the podcast meaning to the real deal.
Knockouts and Three Counts starts now.
What up, though? It is another Thursday, and like I said, we've got quite the episode. Man, you know, it's funny how a lot of these timings are working out. I just realized today when it came up in my memories, it's been 3 years since we last had him on the show, but we've got the return of our guy, Chris Van Vliet. Man, appreciate the time.
So good to see you guys, and I was just thinking, like, I know it's been a long time, but how long has it been? 3 years? That's way too long, my friends.
Hell yeah, definitely got to run this again. J-Bone, you're getting your first run around this time with CVV, man. How you feeling, man?
I dig it, man. It's a pleasure to be on. Big fan of yours. Part of the reason we all gotten into this business, right? So glad to have you on, man. Looking forward to it.
Well, it's good to officially meet you. And Kyle, good to see you again. Although I just saw you. I just saw you at Royal Rumble, but good to see you like this.
Hell yeah, man. And I appreciate the time. And that was something we were talking about leading into doing this whole thing, man. It's just the fact that, like, I appreciate the fact that if anybody ever sees you at WrestleCon or all those things, which if you're going to be at WrestleCon, make sure you check us out with Mega Ran. We got a table in that joint as well. But you're cool to everybody that comes up, man. You got a word for anybody that's got the time, man. And that's always a good thing to see, because it's not always that way.
I don't know. Shouldn't everybody be like that? Like, if someone
should be
the time out of their day to say a few words to me, the very least I can do is talk to them as well. And I don't know, it's the coolest thing, man, because as you guys know, you create a lot of stuff like in a vacuum, right? Like, we're all just sitting in our houses right now, cameras in front of us, and that's it, right? We're in an empty room. It's cool knowing that on the other side of this are actually people that are watching or listening. So when you're at Royal Rumble or WrestleMania or an AEW show or WrestleCon, and someone comes up to you and they're like, man, I just watched the interview you did last week with so-and-so. It's like, oh, there are other people on the side, other side of the camera. So yeah, no, that's one of the coolest things. And that's something I'm like, so, so grateful for.
Dude, that's something we talk about all the time. Like when we go to these fights and stuff, like J-Bone just got to do his first run at commentary with us, with our guys over at Lights Out Championship. And, you know, the amount of people that came up and said they saw different interviews with so-and-so and so-and-so, I mean, that's a whole nother level for somebody like you who's doing all the things that you are. So, I mean, that's as good a place as any to start, man. We had a lot of people that were commenting in it and talking about how you were an inspiration and helping them, getting them into whether it be broadcasting or wrestling interviewing or doing a podcast or whatever it might be. I mean, you've been doing this stuff for a long time. And as I just mentioned, you know, your podcast as well is one of the top ones out there. So now that you've been doing this for a while, if you had any word of advice for anybody getting into the game or wanting to get into the game, what would that be now with all the experience you got?
First of all, Kyle, thank you for the like kind words. That's so nice of you. I'd say that anybody that wants to do it should just do it. Like, the barrier of entry is so low, right? Like, if you have a phone in your pocket, you have enough equipment to start a YouTube channel or to start a podcast. So instead of thinking about it and talking about it and dreaming about it, just start. Just start and know that your first, if it's a podcast episode or two or 10, are not going to be so good. And if you're a YouTuber, your first few videos, they're going to suck. But just know that every single one that you do is going to get a little bit better than the last one. So I would say just do it. And yes, of course, there's a lot of podcasts out there and there's a lot of YouTube channels out there. And if we're, you know, really niching this down, there's a lot of wrestling podcasts out there and a lot of wrestling YouTube channels. But instead of seeing that as a negative, I'd see that as a positive. If they can do it, it means I can do it too.
100%, man. J-Bone, that's even something funny that you and I have talked about a few times, because for those that follow our show, J-Bone also covers all the hip-hop stuff, got his own show, the J-Bone Show, and all those things. But with that being said, you know, we were looking at, like, stats. You know, it said, like, what was the percentage, man? How many people are out by episode 7, you were telling me?
Oh, oh, dude. It
78% or something, I think.
Yeah, it was like some stupid number, but it was exactly 7 episodes. It was like, yeah. I don't remember what the exact percentage was, but it was like 7, like you said, 78-80% are out by episode 7. And, you know, like I said, it's been 3 years since the last time we got to have you on.
I'll tell you what, so, I recorded my first podcast from my phone on one of those, you know, those lunch tray table things that your grandma has at the house. Yeah. You know what I mean? I moved into this house right here and I had nothing. I'm like, you know what? I'm going to do this. And I just did it. And it took about 7. I'm like, maybe I should get a desk. You know what I mean? I'm like, progressively, you get better. Each one's better than the last, man. So as long as you're not willing to give up on it, keep it going. You never know where it's going to get you. Look where we are right now, talking with one of the best.
There's some kind of stat out there. I don't know the exact numbers. We can look it up. But like a huge number of people only ever put out one episode. And then another huge number only ever put out 3. And then another huge number, again, only put out 7. So like if you're just consistent, if you just keep doing it, number one, you're going to keep getting better. And number two, more people are going to keep finding your show and keep listening. Yeah. To your show. So just get after it.
I think I don't know that. I mean, we always talk about, you got to Take the business out of it. Some fun like we do. We're talking about something we're passionate about. We're talking pro wrestling, MMA. These are things we're going to talk about anyway. So why not record it and let people listen in? So when you find that, you hit the golden grail, man. So just keep at it.
Hell yeah, man. Definitely can't argue that at all. And it not what I was going to say is the other thing too, man, is you'd be amazed. You know, I hear you talk a lot about it in your shows with positivity and things of that nature. But like, if you're just cool to people, it's amazing how many people you'll meet along your way that are just like, you know what, dude, that guy's cool people. Let me look out. Like, you know what I mean? Yeah. And so if you keep grinding and you find yourself in the right circles, man, you're definitely right. It takes you to a good spot. But I told you before we hit the button that I had to talk a little bit about some MMA stuff. But before we get to doing that, man, you know, I got to give a shout out to our other sponsor, Mitten Muay Thai, which, as you can see from this clip, the tickets are on sale today, May 3rd, right before Cinco de Mayo here in Clinton Township, Michigan at the Imperial House. Get your tickets. Watch somebody get knocked out. It's always a good time. There you can see all the stuff there with it. And tell them Knockouts are free.
But those are some, man, what a highlight reel there.
I know, man. And that's why when they hit us up, I was like, hell yeah, we can get down with this.
We're flying in here. Dude.
Crazy. I love
it. Shout out to past guests of the show, Reese Kelly, the Detroit Dragon, who was knocking fools out in that last video. So I'm definitely looking forward to what goes down at the Imperial House. I'll be back on the mic for commentary for that one. So I'm looking forward to that as well. But we talked about it a little bit before, but man, I know you get down with the MMA a little bit. And so I had to ask you a few questions. You got to be there with Volk versus Ilya Topuria, man. Tell me what the energy was like in that building and what were your thoughts when Topuria went in? And I mean, while we all knew the guy was going to be a killer and we talked about this on the show, I don't think anybody expected Volk to just get slept like that.
I'm getting goosebumps as you're talking about it. That's crazy. It was electric in there. Nobody was sitting during that. And it's funny, when Ilya won, we left there and like there were so many Ilya fans there. They were treating this like their team had just won the Super Bowl or the Stanley Cup or the World Series or something like that. Like it was so loud from like, you couldn't even hear the post-fight interviews in there because it was just so loud. Like the buzz in there was crazy. I was so fortunate to be there. It was like Honda Center is about 10, 15 minutes from where we live. And I was like, if this is in my backyard, I got to go there. I've been a UFC fan since the 90s. Like I remember going to Blockbuster and getting UFCs and like watching them, like UFC 1 and then 2 and then 3. And like, oh my gosh, this is before there were like weight classes or rules. So I've been an MMA fan and a UFC fan for a long time. And yeah, that was a great card. I'm really curious now what happens to Volk, because he seemed invincible before this. And I think sometimes, it, you know, when someone gets rocked like that, gets knocked out like that, we kind of realize that like they've got a bit of a glass chin now. And it's like, ugh, like what happens now?
Yep.
Well, that's what scared me with that fight, because the fact that he fought Islam twice so close together, and for it to play out that way, that was what was scary. And for this one to be that quick, I think if I had to guess, I think he's one of the few, like you always have that question when a long term champion loses a fight. Should they get an immediate rematch? Volk being the fact that he's literally beaten everybody else at 145, and the only other liable name would be Max Holloway, and he's fighting at UFC 300 against Gaethje. I kind of feel like Volk probably will fight him again, but I think with the global expansion of UFC at this point, I think there's a good chance that that fight might happen over in Spain where Tapori is from. Yeah. So I think they might fight again, but my only hope is that if they're going to have that fight, please let there just be like some time for Volk to kind of like chill out, because they said the second fight, he took that fight on like 2 weeks notice and he wasn't or like 2 months notice or whatever it was, wasn't really training like that. You know, he said he said himself in the embedded leading up to this fight that he had still been drinking and all that stuff, just chilling, not like he was a drunk or anything of that means, but I mean there's a difference when you're kind of chilling and just training versus when you're in fight camp, and I feel like that's the thing.
This is going to be on Volk now. I think, like, I'm sure he's going to get presented with a rematch at some point in time, but he needs to just sit back and go, give me 6 months, 9 months,
yes,
a year, whatever it happens to be. That needs to be on him. And I just, like, he's taken a lot of fights on short notice. I hope that he just goes, you know what? Give me some time here.
I'm with that.
I'm with that. What was that, UFC 306 at the Sphere? Put him in there, man. That's enough time. That's a huge card. Going to be a huge card.
That's going to be dope to see how that looks.
Yeah.
That's going to be legendary, right? And that's also going to show a lot of other companies like, oh, this is what's possible inside the Sphere. Like, it's not going to be very long, and they're owned by the same company now. It's not going to be very long before we see a Raw or a SmackDown or maybe a pay-per-view. Mm-hmm. PLE, sorry.
I'm all for it.
A PLE inside.
It'll always be a PPV to me, damn it.
Me too.
We just talked about that recently too, Kyle. The merger with UFC, WWE, TKO, we're starting to see shades of UFC in the UFC with the press conference, the WrestleMania presser. We're starting to see more production value into the UFC, maybe from WWE side. So it's just a matter of time before the Sphere, that could be a whole weekend. We could see WWE move it to Sunday, SmackDown Friday, Monday Raw, whatever. I don't know.
It hasn't been announced yet, but I'm pretty sure if WrestleMania 41 isn't in Vegas, WrestleMania 42 is in Vegas. I think it's just a matter of time. WWE loves to break those records when they go into a relatively new stadium. Legion Stadium just had the Super Bowl. I think that WWE is like salivating going, that looks pretty good. We can do it even better. So maybe it's next year at WrestleMania. We see something in the Sphere, then WrestleMania. I don't know, but I like what you're saying, J-Bone. Like, there's a lot of things that WWE is borrowing from UFC and vice versa. And I think that at the end of the day, we're all benefiting from this as fans.
100%, dude. And we always talk about it all the time. Like, and you hear it said all the time, like MMA, even though it's MMA, everything is pro wrestling. Like the best fights that everybody wants to see are the ones where there's a lot of shit talking, like in the fight that we just saw this past weekend with Sugar Sean and Cheeto running it back. You know, Cheeto was the last one to beat Sean with them nasty leg kicks he hit him with. And then Sean comes out, and even with all the talking, all the pomp and circumstance, all that stuff, he comes out and gets the W. Shout out to Drop Zone, which if you guys didn't check out that show, make sure you do, because hey, I won some money. You would have too if you took those parlays. But what'd you think about Sugar Sean and Cheeto, man?
I love that this match finally happened again. Like, this was a rematch, I think, that was years in the making. The fact that it was for the title, I think, was great. I mean, when I interviewed Sean O'Malley, it was like two-ish years ago, and like he wouldn't even admit that he had that one in the loss category, because he's like, I mean, come on. Like, it wasn't even really a loss. Like, his leg got busted up. He couldn't stand on it anymore, and the fight had to end. But it was a dominant victory. I don't know how you were scoring it, but he either won four or five of those rounds.
Like, there's no way it couldn't have been.
Yeah.
I mean, he was tagging him up. He had such great range control.
the way that he was able to continue to land his shots and never really let Cheeto be able to get in close enough to make it gritty. And if you notice, well, what did we just say about the leg kicks? Cheeto did not ever really get close enough or in range enough to really be able to get those leg kicks off. And just the leg kicks alone could have completely changed the way that that fight went. But to your point, I think with the way that O'Malley's footwork looked and the speed in which he was moving around, I don't think Cheeto was ever really able to like set his feet and be able to really get the timing down of Sean. And especially for a fight like that, where you want to make it gritty, if that guy's able to control the movement around the cage, that's a problem.
Sugar Sean O'Malley is everything that the UFC wants in a champion. And the fact that he is the champion now, I think it's just like perfect for them. He's a great fighter, but on top of that, he's charismatic and energetic, and he has a very distinct look. So if you're just a casual fan and you're looking at the card, you go, ooh, that's a fight that I want to see right there.
Can't argue it. It's just like the Conor McGregor effect. It's like the Conor McGregor effect. 100% it does, dude. And I mean, to your point with the press conferences, it's like, I mean, it's starting to trend that way more and more. And that's a great way to lead into the wrestling side of things, dude. Even now in 2024, you're seeing more and more MMA fighters, whether it be a Ronda Rousey, whether it be, I mean, we had Miranda Maverick, who still fights in the UFC, tell us how she was training for wrestling while she was fighting because she wasn't making the money that she wanted to when she was first coming up as a pro and had trained like that. And then to guys like our homie and past guest of the show, Bulletproof Troop over at NWA, you know, he fought, you know, in LFA and a lot of other places and trained out at Black House with Anderson Silva and all those guys out there. And then now he's wrestling over in the NWA. What do you think with all the crossover we're seeing between MMA and wrestling? I mean, hell, look at Logan Paul. I mean, that's not necessarily MMA, but I mean, they were doing the boxing stuff over there. And now Logan Paul's got the US championship over in the WWE.
Well, they obviously have the athleticism, and I think that makes them stand out at any of those tryouts or any of the time that they're getting scouted. But if they could just turn up that personality a little bit, then you get lightning in a bottle. And we've seen it so many times. You listed off a bunch of people, but I mean, Brock Lesnar is obviously a great example there, going from amateur wrestling to pro wrestling to UFC back to pro wrestling.
Right.
Ken Shamrock's another great example. Dan the Beast Severn, Tank Abbott. Like, there's been so many over the years that if you can just turn that personality up, then you've got magic there. And I love that. I also love seeing the crossover when it's a football player or a basketball player or any sort of other athlete. Like, if you have the athleticism and you've loved wrestling, or you at least think it's interesting, it's worth a try. And then there's a lot of people that go to a WWE tryout or go to the Performance Center and they go, oh yeah, this isn't for me at all. So like, I think it
takes one bump.
Right, exactly. Or you run the ropes one time and you're like, hey, I'm winded. Oh, no.
Oh, so they're not really just like bungee cord. Shit.
Right. Yeah. So I think that if any of those athletes have any sort of interest, give it a try, whether it's a WWE tryout, if you have the ability to do that, or just go to your local wrestling school and just try it out. If you like it, see how far it can take you.
Can't argue that at all. Well, speaking of NWA and all those things, you know, another one of the interviews that you did recently that I enjoyed was with another past guest of this show who we just had on before, NWA Hard Times, and that's Aaron Stevens, man. Yeah. That guy, he's such a fun conversation, and it's hilarious to hear you say you bring up UFC 1, 2, and 3 because, oh my God, I never knew that that guy was such an MMA guy, and he went on like a whole rant about Keith Hackney and UFC 3 and all those things, man. So talk to me about your chats with Aaron Stevens, and what do you think of what he's doing in NWA now as a manager?
Man, that guy is so talented. And I feel like we just saw the tip of the iceberg for anybody that saw him in WWE. When you saw the Damian Sandow stuff with the Money in the Bank, the chocolate bar briefcase, as he called it, yeah, and stuff with Damian Mizdow. And then he took some time off, I think, to really like figure out like where his focus was. And he was doing a lot of acting stuff. And then Billy Corgan called him and said, I want to see you in NWA. And the stuff that Aaron Stevens is doing in NWA is so, so good. And if you haven't checked it out, go check out some episodes of Power, or just check out some clips of what Aaron Stevens has done some of the throwback stuff 5 years ago with Question Mark was so good. Karate.
Rest in peace, Question Mark.
Absolutely. So it's such good stuff. And he's one of those people that if he wasn't in wrestling, he would be doing something in entertainment, whether that's theater or it's movies or TV shows. He's just so entertaining. And he's one of those people that I just feel like was born to be in front of a bunch of people, whether that's on a screen or on a stage.
Can't argue that. J-Bone, what'd you think of our chat with Mr. Stevens, man? That guy was super cool to kick it with. And like I said, I never knew that there were so many layers to Mr. Stevens, but why would I be surprised by that?
Like, I mean, like you said, I was completely surprised with the UFC stuff. And we got way off topic in the UFC. I mean, we were YouTubing, you know, different types of Taekwondo versus sumo, and we were just going off the rails, man. But like you said, it goes back to what we were talking about earlier. That's a guy that he's approachable, right? He's a good conversationalist, and he's open to anybody. And you can see that, and it speaks volumes in his work. He's open to do anything, and he's good at everything he does. So kudos to that, man. And good to see him doing well.
What do you think about NWA going to the CW? And let me re-clarify so they don't have to print another retraction to our episode like they did with Joe Galli, which that was a great episode. But, you know, what do you think about them going over to the CW app? How do you think that this is going to help them moving forward from the model that we all saw when Power first came back, where they were doing everything via YouTube?
I just think that if they have a spot where they can get more eyeballs, that's going to be great for wrestling as a whole. And I think that YouTube is great. Obviously, I'm on YouTube. You guys are on YouTube. But I think the best and worst thing about YouTube is that anybody can be on there, right? Like, it's great. Anybody can upload a video and be on YouTube. But at the same time, oftentimes it's like finding a needle in a haystack. So them being on the CW app is big. And when you really think about it, with SmackDown leaving Fox, I guess Raw is going to be on this. Which one's going to the CW? But there's going to be a point in time.
SmackDown's going, or no, NXT's going to CW, and then SmackDown's going to USA.
That's right. SmackDown to USA. Netflix is getting Raw. There's going to be a point in time when NWA and NXT are the only ones on the CW or the CW app. I think that actually speaks volumes.
And that's the thing. I mean, everything is getting to be so much streaming. I mean, eventually at some point, it's not really going to matter, like as far as like having a time slot versus, you know, being on the app, because like you said, it opens it up to a whole bunch of people. And obviously the CW hasn't been like the hub for wrestling since SmackDown was on there back in the day when they were still UPN. So like for them to be back there and like you said, be like the main, wrestling product on there, at least until NXT is on the TV. I think it's more eyes, and it's a good thing because there's so many great talents over there as well. Shout out to Kerry Morton and the Southern Six that came through as well, man. There's so many people there that, you know, given a few more eyes, like you said, I think, you know, even to what Aaron said in our chat with him, those first two seasons of Power were so dope. Yeah. Like it had that old school feel to it. Reminds you of that studio wrestling feel. And if they can bring that back on a bigger scale, I'm all for it.
We're in a really interesting period of just like television in general right now, where Amazon Prime was testing the waters with Thursday Night Football. Oh, that did pretty well. They did that Black Friday game. Oh, that also did pretty well. And then I think when it came around for this new Raw contract, Amazon was talking about throwing their hat into the ring. Netflix talking about throwing their hat into the ring. The fact that it's $5 billion for 5 years, I think is really showing us that Netflix or Hulu or any of these streamers isn't just a place where you go on there and you binge watch a whole season of your favorite show. This is going to start to be a place where it's appointment viewing. That Jake Paul Mike Tyson fight is free if you're a Netflix subscriber. Like, I think that blows people. Oh,
shit. That one's on Netflix too. Okay.
Yes. That's streaming live on Netflix. And there's no additional cost here. So I think there's a lot of people that got accustomed to like these big pay-per-view boxing matches or these PLEs, like having to pay an additional price for that. I think that this is going to really start to change the game. And we're going to go back to this time period, the mid-2020s, if you will. It's so crazy to say that we're in the mid-20s. Yeah, right. But we're going to go back to this time period and go, oh yeah, remember when Raw went to Netflix? That explains why... I'm just making this up here. These NHL games, the NHL playoffs are now on Hulu or Amazon Prime, whatever it happens to be.
I totally brain farted for a second because we definitely just talked about that with Drop Zone. But with that being said, man, that was my thought when they first announced it, because Raw got figured. They got paid, what, $1.4 billion or whatever they were saying it was when they got the Peacock deal. For just Raw by itself, they got paid $5 billion. That's like a whole nother $4 billion than the other billion that they already got. Right. And now you think of it this way, it's just another situation where the WWE has kind of like been the first out to the market. You know, WWE puts Raw over there, or at least it's announced that it's going to be over there. And now look at this fight, man. You don't know how that's going to play out. You got to tell me, though, since you brought it up, how do you think this Jake Paul Mike Tyson thing is going to play out? Because I hear now they're going to be fighting with headgear and all that stuff. But
is that true? Like, is that a fact or is that just a rumor?
I don't know it to be fact. I did see it on social media.
I haven't heard it completely confirmed, but I've heard it quite a few places.
Who wants to see guys fight with headgear on?
I'm with you, but I think it's the only way they're going to make it happen with how old Mike is at this point. I think that's what it's coming down to.
Look, I think it's interesting, and my hat's off to what Jake Paul's done for boxing. Whether you love him or you hate him, I love that you feel something about him. Like, that's the essence of, I think, definitely pro wrestling. But also
I was about to say,
right? Like, that is the essence of pro wrestling. Like, if you love someone or hate someone, congrats, you've done your job because you feel something. But Jake Paul has made boxing interesting again. Whether you tune into the fights to see him win, or you tune into the fight with the hope that he's going to get his ass knocked out, you're still tuning in. So, you know, he's doing his job. He's playing that heel, like the real life heel, in a great way. I don't know here, though. I don't know. Like, Mike Tyson's one of the all-time greats, but he's 57. Jake Paul's on this come up now. And for all the Jake Paul haters, I think that this fight just kind of like cements, like, oh, this is what Jake Paul does. He fights retired people. It's like, yeah, but you're still going to watch. Like, you're still going to watch.
Oh, yeah. Well, and like we talked about when we broke it down, J-Bone, like, I mean, to be honest, man, like, skill for skill, even at 57, I still take Mike Tyson 9 times out of 10. Like, if you watch the man train, like, he's still quick. Is he the Mike Tyson he was when he was in his prime? No. But, again, it comes down to that thing with the headgear, and I think skill for skill, I think Mike Tyson wins this fight. My only concern is this. Like Jake Paul, hate Jake Paul, want to say it's rigged, say whatever you want. The one thing the guy does have is he has some power. And if he hits a Mike Tyson at that age, I don't know how his body's going to react, because you can't think that Mike Tyson's doing a ton of sparring to get ready for this, I would imagine. So
I would have to think this is an exhibition fight, right? Like, this is no different than Mike Tyson versus Roy Jones Jr., which, if it's an exhibition, there's no real winner there, right? Because it's...
See, but I think that kills Jake if they do that. Only because Jake's been doing all this, is they're counting his fights on his record. From what I understand, they're trying to push for this to count as like a sanctioned fight and all those things, right? Because if it goes down as an exhibition, well, then that kind of kills Jake's whole gig. But I still think he's got a whole run with Logan in WWE when he's done. Yeah, that's just my opinion.
So if this is a sanctioned fight, then there's going to be a weight class here, and they're not in the same weight class. So how does this work?
Well, that's like we were saying before. It's kind of a lose lose for Jake, because
it really is when you think sanctioned, about it.
Except for the money, he wins a lot of money.
Monetarily, he's winning any way this goes, especially with the fact that he's promoting it too, so he gets money off of like the pay per views and everything else. But as far as his brand,
goes out there and knocks him out.
Yeah.
So you knocked out a 58-year-old Tyson at the time. You go out there and get beat up by a 58-year-old Tyson at the time.
Yeah, right.
But he's padding his pockets. I guess at the end of the day, he's feeding his family, and that's what
this could be his last hurrah, because, you know, if nothing else, there's going to be a lot of freaking people who are going to be watching this.
Oh, yeah. So I got to renew my Netflix account, speaking of. Thanks for the reminder.
Hell yeah, man. Well, you're going to need to do that so you can keep up with Raw once they switch over there. And speaking of Raw, man, we're headed on the road to WrestleMania. I know you're looking forward to getting to Philly. I'm looking forward to getting to Philly. How are you feeling headed into WrestleMania? Because I got to be honest, dude, like, this is the first year in a long time, and I've been to a lot of WrestleManias at this point, in that, honestly, bro, I'm just enjoying what they're doing, and there's so many different ways they can go. I feel like that's the thing that's making this so what it is, because –
there's literally so many ways you can go. You don't know if The Rock's going to screw over Roman. Is Seth going to screw over Cody? Is, you know, there's a million different ways you can go with it. How are you feeling in Dominion?
I keep saying to people, just like sit back and like enjoy it. Like I feel like Raw ends and people are just so quick to just go, yeah, but what does this mean for this thing with this thing over here? Just sit and enjoy the television program that you just watched. And then watch the one on Friday and then enjoy that one. And then watch the one on Monday and everything's going to start to come together. And I feel like things now with a few weeks to go to WrestleMania, they're starting to come together. And what's so exciting about WrestleMania 40 to me is most of us went into WrestleMania 39 going, it's going to be a great main event, but Cody's going to win. And man, I can't wait to see him finish the story and have his moment. Oh, wait, Cody didn't win. And now that we're going into WrestleMania 40, we're going, anything could happen. Like, obviously, I think Cody's going to win, but there's a chance that Cody won't win here. So it's like there's this toss up of like, what's going to happen? How is this all going to shake out? I think that tag match with Rock and Roman versus Cody and Seth, I feel like we can all kind of agree Cody and Seth win that. Right. I just feel like that one makes sense.
I don't know that I agree, only for one reason. Remember, if they lose, it's bloodline rules.
Right.
Yeah,
I know.
And you got to remember, Seth, even if he's saying he's riding with Cody, I mean, I'm be honest, man, Seth looked kind of salty that Cody didn't want to give him his another chance at him after he lost three times. So I'm not going to hold you.
I just think something's going to happen at the end of WrestleMania Saturday. That's going to make I think people forget that when we watch this, we're watching a TV show. And WWE has been so good at like sucking us in and making us like need to watch more, like just like drawing our attention in. So I feel like something's going to happen. WrestleMania Saturday, that's kind of going to be like a cliffhanger, like the wrestling version of a cliffhanger. And we're all going to go, yeah, I can't wait to watch on Sunday now.
That's why I think something's got to happen between Seth and Cody, also, man.
Back to that tag match, I don't think it would be beneficial for Roman to take a loss in this match. What's it going to do if The Rock takes the pinfall? That's not going to do much. So I do think they win that one. We get the bloodline rules. But that doesn't go to say that The Rock can't do something the following night to kind of, you know, get the fans behind his back again. We'll see. That's the cool thing. It's wide open for everybody, right? We could all – pretty much.
I heard a great theory. It was Sam Roberts that told me this. And he said, basically, Rock, Roman win night one. Night two, it's bloodline rules. Someone comes out towards the end of the match wearing the hoodie. Oh, God, it's happening again. They pull off the hoodie. It's Seth Rollins. He screws Cody. Then sets up something on the side here. I'm like, that could make a lot of sense.
So much we could do.
I think we can all agree that Cody will win the championship at some point in time, right? And that's the kind of the cool thing is we don't know if it's WrestleMania,
so.
If it's SummerSlam, if it's Survivor Series, whenever, right? Like he's going to win it at some point in time. And Cody's going to be a multiple time WWE champion. I mean, I think it's just inevitable, but it just really comes down to when is this going to happen? And people seem to forget that finishing the story does not mean beating Roman Reigns at WrestleMania. Finishing the story just means winning the championship. So I'm really curious how this is all going to go.
And another thing, Kyle, we were talking about, you know, finishing the story and all that. We could be focusing on the wrong thing completely here. Like another big deal is when Roman actually loses his title. That's going to be a huge, huge drama factor in it all. Yeah, we're going to see Cody raising his hand, fireworks going, everything, but it's closing the chapter to one of the greatest title reigns of all time. Number four all time, right? So closing the chapter, closing that story on the Tribal Chief, that's a very, very big deal. And I think we're kind of putting that to the back seat, rightfully so. But WrestleMania, man, there's so many things we could do here.
I think there's just so many fans that are like tired of the Roman Reigns storyline. Like, you know, go on Twitter any Friday during or after SmackDown. It's just people complaining about how Roman never defends the title. Yeah, that's kind of what makes him a great heel, though, is like the fact that he's not defending the title a lot. So I think there's going to be a lot of fans that are happy when he loses. I think he's going to go away for a little while. Then I think it's going to turn into like this John Cena situation where when John Cena was gone and then he came back, it made us realize what we had, right? Like it has to go away for you to realize what you've got. So I feel like Roman goes away. And then when he does come back, it's even more impactful.
Well, you brought up Cena, man. That was one of the things I wanted to bring up and chat with you about. You know, I got to check out your most recent chat with John Cena. You know, talk to me. You know, you've gotten to interview him a couple times at this point, man. Talk to me. Talk to me about your takeaways from chatting with him, and what do you think we see with Cena down the line? I feel like we got to see like one last run, or do you think it's going to be like one more big match, and then he just kind of rides off into the sunset? I mean, my man's was doing his thing at the Oscars the other night. Yeah,
I think it's one last run because he said in multiple interviews that he wants to wrestle till he's 50. So he's 47 now. That gives him almost 3 years to do this. So I don't think that's 3 years of a match here and a match there. I think that's, you know, that's another run in there. And when I asked him, what's your favorite championship of the 16 you've won? He very quickly was like, my next one, with a wink. And I'm like, that means there's another one. Like, that means you're going to make history here. And he like seemed like there's still some gas left in the tank there. And as big of a star as he is in Hollywood, you can tell he's still so passionate about wrestling. And if I'm John Cena, I'm looking at what The Rock's doing right now, because The Rock had like, you know, 1 foot in wrestling for a while. Now he has both feet firmly planted in the world of WWE. And I got to say, like, this is Dwayne Johnson's best work. Like, I obviously Dwayne Johnson's had a lot of great movies, but like the work he's doing right now as The Rock, as a heel in the Bloodline, this is Dwayne Johnson's like best character work. And I think it's amazing. So I think if I'm John Cena, I'm looking at this going, there's something there for me too. And I had such a great conversation with John. Like, he truly is the best. And the way that he makes time for people is incredible. Like, he genuinely cares about people. And I said it during that interview, but I truly mean it. It's my favorite interview that I've ever done. And there's so many little takeaways from that interview that I will carry with me for the rest of my life. Just the way that he approaches life and the way that he makes people feel. Like, it's that old Maya Angelou quote of like, people won't remember what you say or what you did, but they will remember how they made you feel. And that's John Cena in a nutshell.
Agreed. That's always the vibe I've gotten off of that. And, you know, like you said, man, I mean, to me, so for those that follow our show, they know I have Crohn's and cerebral palsy and work with kids myself. The thing that sticks out to me is, say what you want about the guy. Obviously, a lot of people make their jokes, make your fun about the Make-A-Wish stuff. But to me, the fact that you've gone above and beyond and some of the stories you hear about that kind of stuff and doing it when he's out, like you said, doing movies and doing, you know, all the different stuff he's doing, that, like the one kid, I forgot where they said they were, he stopped in the middle of a movie set because he heard that the kid wanted to meet him, and he did it. They were in another country. Like, there's so many different stories like that with Cena. And I agree with you. I think there needs to be one last run. The question is, do we finally get that heel run that everybody's always wanted?
I don't think so. I mean, I'd love it in the way that he described it to me, like,
yeah,
new music and new attire and a whole new attitude. It's funny because he was all about hustle, loyalty, and respect. What if he was the opposite of all of those things, right? What if he was a little bit lazy, and what if he was not loyal, and what if he was disrespectful? Oof, that's a heel. Yeah, that's a heel through and through. I don't think we'll see a heel run from him, but I do think we'll see another run from him. Maybe it's the World Heavyweight Championship, whoever, if it's Seth still, but I feel like there's, maybe it's Randy, right? He's got huge history with Randy.
That's what I'd like to see.
Yeah, I feel like that could happen.
I've loved seeing.
Can you imagine John Cena winning matches like schoolboy roll-ups and low blows? And like, could you like put the dirty pins with your feet on the rope? John Cena, that would be crazy, dude.
Right?
You know what's crazy? In our wrestling world, we'd cheer it.
Yeah, you're not wrong.
You know what I mean? We'd cheer it. We'd be cool.
All right, man. Well, you brought up another one of them that I was going to ask, man. You know, you already said you think that some of the stuff we're seeing with The Rock is like the best stuff we've seen. I mean, do you think, what do you think about him coming back, first of all? And number two, do you think it's going to be a thing where obviously we're seeing the run that we're getting leading into WrestleMania? My initial thought was, now we'll always kind of have that little piece of The Rock, whether he's in a story or he's not, because I feel like with him being on that TKO board, it kind of just always leaves that door open, which before it was always kind of like The Rock's doing wrestling or doing movies, so he can't do wrestling right now. And now this kind of opens the door to where I feel like you'll always kind of have some kind of piece of The Rock in WWE.
Yeah, every other Rock return over the last 10 years was like he would just come out, he'd cut a promo, maybe a people's elbow, and then we wouldn't see him again for a while. I feel like that when he returned on SmackDown in the fall, I feel like that's what it felt like. It just felt like he happened to be in town. You know, we'll just see him make an appearance. And like, I love that that wasn't promoted. Like he just showed up and we went crazy, right? Because we weren't expecting him there. Then he shows up at day one and it was brilliant how they were like a former WWE champion is going to be here. Jinder comes out, gets all the heel heat. Then if you smell, so good. And I think that the seeds were planted then of like, oh, this could be like a real thing. And then when we finally saw it come to fruition of like, oh, The Rock's here to stay. And at first it seemed like The Rock's here to stay till WrestleMania. Oh, now we're thinking like, I think The Rock's here to stay for a while. I don't know how long that is, but the thing I love about this, and I've been trying to force myself to be a little bit more present in every single day now. That was actually another lesson from John Cena, but we're getting greatness with what's going on right now. Like we look back so fondly on the Attitude Era, but I don't know if we really appreciated it while it was happening. It wasn't until like years later that we went, oh yeah, like the good old days, we were living in the good old days and now they're the good old days. Guys, this right now is the good old days. What we have going on right now is incredible. And that's why when you tune into Raw or SmackDown with what WWE is doing right now, it's amazing. So like, just enjoy it while it's happening. Let's see where this story goes and appreciate that The Rock is doing some of the best work of his career right now.
What do we call this era anyway? What's the name
Great
of this
question.
Era?
Great question.
In 20 years, back this. First, we're going to be like, remember when wrestling era? Was on cable? Remember when wrestling was on cable and not on streaming? That's going to be the first thing. But what do we call it? Era?
Hey, I heard all I know say, is I heard... the first thing that stuck out to me is the fact that he had the shirts like he did back in the day, yeah. But they're all cut offs now. So he...
The thing that stuck out for me is he wasn't out there wearing Under Armour gear. Mm-hmm. He wasn't out there wearing any of his merch that you could buy, at the venue. He was dressed like heel Rock. And it's like, oh, he's all the way into this. But I don't know. Do we call this the global era? Because if you think about this year, okay. There's a PLE in Berlin, in France, in Toronto. We just saw one in Australia. Like this is something's happening here. Like WWE is borrowing a little bit from UFC, which I think is borrowing a little bit from the NFL in making like all three of those a global brand.
Yeah.
So what we're seeing right now, I think is just like, just a glimmer of what we're going to see 5 or 10 years from now. I feel like it's just going to keep getting bigger and bigger.
I agree with that 100%. Well, okay, man. So we talked about The Rock. We talked about Cena. We talked about WrestleMania, but man, did we have a big debut of sorts. We got a new CEO in town. You know, Sasha Banks, formerly Sasha Banks, Mercedes Moné, has debuted now in AEW. What do you think about her going to AEW? How do you think she's going to be able to help them?
She seems really happy. And that's what I'm excited for her because she seems really happy. And this is the third big AEW signing in the last handful of months. Like Okada is a massive one. Even if you've never watched New Japan, my goodness, you just wait till you see the matches that the Rainmaker can put on. Like it's going to be insane. You guys know I'm a huge Will Ospreay fan. That was also a big signing. And the fact that he's now free and clear of his New Japan contract and we can see him in AEW. There's some big stuff happening here. I really want to take the wait and see approach of like, what's next? Like who is Mercedes' first opponent? Okay. Now what's that going to lead to? Because I think it's going to be just a matter of time. Like I feel like in 2024, she's the AEW Women's Champion. It's just a matter of like, is that in a few months or are we talking like the fall or winter here? I don't know, but this is big for her and this is big for AEW. Now it's just a matter of like, what do you do with it?
100%. That was the thing. I was just talking to Mega Rant about this earlier when I was out doing errands and stuff before we did this. Like, that's my only thing. I think it's a huge move, obviously a big star, but the only thing that worries me is it reminds me immediately. My first thought when they were the rumblings of her coming there were that it's what about Soraya? You know what I mean? Like, Soraya went there. She had the big run at All In. She was the champion and all that stuff. And then just now you don't really see her around like that and all those things. That was my only concern when it comes to Mercedes Moné. Obviously, with all the hype that she's got with her leaving WWE and all those things, I don't know that that'll happen a second time. But my whole thing is they have so many people there that can help with, I think, her and a Britt Baker. That would be so dope. You got Jamie Hayter that's got to go back. There's so many people on that roster in AEW that would be good opponents. But to your point, and that's like my biggest concern, is like we've heard the criticism of how AEW handles like the women's division. Like, they need to push this. Like, she is the big star, the same as you did with a Danielson or Copeland or whoever you want to use. I think that's the real key to it. Like you said, is what you do with it.
I don't know if they're using Copeland as well as they can. And when you brought up Soraya, I thought of Adam Copeland, Edge for WWE fans. And I'm like, he came in with all of this hype and fanfare, and here we are a handful of months later. And like, I'm not that excited for the booking that he's in right now. Will this get turned around? I sure hope so, because he's one of the greatest of all time.
See, and they got that storyline with him and Christian, man. But the problem is, once that's done, where are we going to go next,
right?
Yeah. I mean, so, and I think that's the thing is, like, I think it's a big signing. Back to Mercedes, it's a big signing. Mm-hmm. What's next? Like, what's our conversation like this going to be a month from now or 2 months from now? That's what I'm interested in. But as we sit here right now, it's big.
Dope.
And I'm pumped. Yeah.
I think importantly for them, this is going to open a door for, okay, you got your women's superstar now. You have a star. She can go to New Japan freely right now. She can be, you know, the monumental match over in, you know, on New Japan's big shows. She could do that freely, and it's still going to lead back to AEW. I think that's kind of like what they want. They need a star, like a face star that's going to say AEW, and I think that's what they're looking for in Mercedes right now. She can go anywhere, and it'll be the AEW brand with her. So, but remains to be seen where we're going story-wise. Like you said, many ways to go, many good matches for her to have, but we'll see what happens.
Hell yeah, man. I you know, one of the other interviews I wanted to ask you about before we get out of here, you know, another one that really stuck out to me that you've done recently is the one that you did with Jonathan Coachman, man. Talk to me about that interview. There were a lot of great takeaways. Shout out to my guy Whip, who was like, bro, you got to watch that one right away.
Cool.
I've always been a big fan of the coaches, but I feel like he dropped a lot of wisdom in that one. What were your thoughts on your chats with the coach?
Yeah, I love Coach, and I've been so fortunate to do a bunch of interviews with him. He lives not far from me here, actually, in California. He's great, and I love the passion that he has for everything that he does. Whether that's wrestling, which most of us know him from, but also the stuff he's doing right now with golf or doing betting stuff, like the passion that he brings is so palpable. And for anybody who's looking to get into broadcasting or anybody who's looking to get into content creation, go check out that episode, because he drops so many gems in there that help you just like to realize like what your path could look like, how you can actually make this happen. And it's funny because after that interview, he sent me a message. He's like, I get so fired up talking about wrestling again that he actually started a wrestling podcast. So go check that out. I feel like he was out of wrestling for so long, but it's still like, I mean, once you're doing it, he did it for, you know, the bulk of his career. I feel like it's still in him. So I wouldn't be surprised if he pops up somewhere talking about wrestling.
I'd love totally that. See that. Coach was always fun to watch, man. Whether you loved him or hated him, it was like a good hate. You know what I mean? Like, you love to hate him when you did hate him.
He was also like one of those rare non-wrestling personalities that got over, right? That was the era where like they allowed people like Coach or Lillian Garcia to like have a bit of a character, have a little bit of a personality. And that's what's so cool about him is like he got to play a heel for like however many years that was. It was cool.
I mean, because too, the other thing that was really cool for me, you know, ironically, I work at the post office, so you'll see a lot of the random people you see come through. Like, I work in Ann Arbor, like Mike Tirico that does ESPN and all that stuff. I see him all the time at work, and like seeing guys like that, you know, and then as somebody that's trying to come up like that, You know, that was one of the other questions I wanted to ask you. For you, for me, it was Baseball Tonight when I was a kid. I watched Baseball Tonight and SportsCenter a shit ton. So, like, those were the things that got me on this whole, like, broadcasting kick. For you, was it somebody wrestling-wise, or did you, was it, like, somebody sports-related?
I was a big Blue Jays fan growing up, so I was listening to Blue Jays baseball on the radio. My dad still listens to Blue Jays baseball on the radio. I remember pretending to be, it was Tom Cheek and Jerry Howarth. I remember pretending to be them, like, welcome to Blue Jays baseball. It's on the air. I remember doing that as a kid. So that was like my, one of my first things that really got me into broadcasting. And I just, the thing I love about broadcasting at the heart of it is that it's about telling stories. And I think that that's what's so great about it, whether it's radio or television or a podcast or a YouTube channel, it's about telling stories. And what's so cool about my podcast and the interviews that I do is I get to be the conduit through which those stories are told. And I'm just naturally a curious person myself. So I'm asking a lot of questions that I genuinely want to know the answer to as a fan. And I'm just hopeful that anybody listening or watching also wants to know the answer to those questions as well.
Funny how that works. You got a good set.
That's the Holy Grail, man. And you can have fun with it, be passionate about it. You found the Holy Grail.
Heck yeah.
Well, dude, I mean, honestly, like I said, that's been some of the coolest ones for us. And it's, you know, like we've gotten to tell the stories on here. Like one of the coolest episodes that we've ever done, which for anybody who's new and checking this out, I highly recommend. Dude, so my dad, rest in peace at this point, passed away. But, you know, we got to have Chris Kale from Five Finger Death Punch come on the show because my buddy Justin, who I've trained with for years and was fighting in the UFC, trains him out in Vegas at Extreme Couture. And he heard the story about how my dad crashed the truck and DMs me and goes, dude, he's like, you guys crashed and you still went to the show and blah, blah, blah. He's like, you know, I'll come on whenever you want. You know what I mean? It's the stories like that and the random ways that some of this stuff gets set up. And then to have him bring us to the show and give me the jersey from the Tigers and all that. It's stupid. The place that, like you said, just the stick-to-itiveness, and, you know, continuing to do it if it's something that you really like doing, the crazy places that can take you to. But, dude, I'm going to steal a page out of your book. I've watched a lot of your interviews, and at the end of all your interviews, you finish them with the three things that you're grateful for. So right now, what are those things? Because we're grateful for your time on Knockouts and Three Counts.
Dude, I love that. Thank you. First of all, thank you for having me, and congrats to you guys on sticking to it. Like you said there, Kyle, like it's one thing to start a podcast. It's another far more important thing to keep going with it. So yeah, congrats to you guys on sticking with it.
Thank you, sir.
You know, and continuing to get better with every single show. And now you've got the show that you have now. But for me, I'm so grateful for my family. We've got our daughter, my new dad. She's 9 months old, our little girl, Logan. So grateful for her and my beautiful wife, Rachel, who's just the best and so understanding when I say, yeah, I'm going to be gone for 6 days to go to Philly to go to WrestleMania. She's so understanding. So, and I'm going to go to Squared Circle Expo in 2 weeks in Indianapolis because there's just a huge lineup of people there. So I'm really grateful for my family. I'm grateful that all the people that I love and care about are healthy. And I'm just grateful for opportunities. I'm grateful that we're able to do this, right? We're on other sides of the country right now, sitting down and talking like we're next to each other. And I love that. I just love that anything is possible. Like opportunities are there and it's just up to you what you're going to do with those opportunities.
Totally respect that. This might be one of the best things that have ever come out of the pandemic is the fact that we learned how technology can connect those.
Right.
You're not wrong, man. Because I remember the last time we had you on, matter of fact, was right when the pandemic was really getting kicked off. Because I remember you had just done your interview with another past guest of this show, Zicky Dice. And we had linked that up right after you had come on the show. And, you know, now you go from we were recording in a studio and all that when we started. And then once the pandemic hit and you're doing most of this stuff yourself, then it's like, well, you don't really need the studio like that anymore. Yep. And all those things. And so it's crazy how life can, the crappy situations like pandemic can change those things. But like I said, man, I'm definitely grateful for the time
And for anybody who's new here, make sure you hit that subscribe button, hit that like button. Make sure you're checking out this dude. But if you're watching us, I'm sure you've seen a CBV interview here or there. If you got anything you want to throw out real quick before we got out of here, brother man, the floor is yours.
No, I just want to say thank you, guys, and keep up the great work. And look forward to seeing you in Philly.
Hell yeah, I will be in Philly. We need to drag J-Bone out to WrestleMania one of these days. Like, I mean, I've been trying to do that now for the last few years. But
you could drive from Detroit to Philly. You could drive.
Yeah, I might just have to do that one of these. Yeah, yeah.
You had fun when we were in Vegas, except for the fact you got a grandpa bladder, bro. So, I mean, make it happen.
Don't let me get my hands on 32-ounce margaritas, man, because it's a...
Well, when you try to slam them in the time it took us to watch Spandex Nation, that's why
your
grandpa bladder didn't work.
I can't waste it.
You can't waste it. We didn't waste this one. Make sure you hit the subscribe button. Next week we are going to be live, not on Tuesday but on Monday night, with your Karate Combat champion Smiling Sam Alvey. Make sure you hit that button. Until next time, and in the in-between time,
peace.